The title of my message tonight, or what I want to talk to you about, is this. I just felt like the Lord spoke strongly to me. You know, at the beginning of this year, we're pursuing what is God saying for this year in 2016, or we should be. How many of you want to go into this year with a word from God? You want to go in this year with your sail set so that the Holy Spirit's wind can blow in that sail and take us somewhere. I don't want to get to this time next year in 2017 and think, well, where did I, what happened? You know, that can happen. I've had years like that. But this year we make up our mind that we want to hear the voice of God and follow what it is that He has to say. And so I love that our pastors bring in different people to speak to our hearts during this time. But we take what God is saying and let the Holy Spirit apply it to us. But I felt like what the Lord spoke to me was that 2016 was to be a year of reclamation and restoration. Hallelujah. That it was to be a year of reclamation and restoration. Now, all of us have areas of our lives, if we'll stop and we'll think about it and we'll consider it, where the enemy has tried to have influence in some kind of way. He sought to take control, or he sought to bring defeat, or he sought to defer what it is that God would want to do in our marriages, or in our homes, or in our children's, or in the dreams and the visions that God has given us. He's sought to lay claim to that which rightfully belongs to God. He wants to take our peace, and He wants to take our joy, and He wants to take our life. How many know what I'm talking about? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we're not going to spend the night talking about how great the enemy is, because the enemy has been defeated. But we have to recognize the fact that he's been defeated, and we've got to kick him out where he does not belong in our lives. Areas in our lives that have been lost. Areas in our lives that the enemy has stolen from us. Areas of our lives that we have forgotten. Areas of our lives that we've given up on. Is anybody associating with any of these things? Areas in our lives that we may have walked away from. Areas that we've experienced setbacks in our lives. Places that we have come up short. And why do those things happen? Well, sometimes it's because we've backed down, or we've stepped down, or we've fell down, or the enemy's pushed us down. But God says in 2016, those areas are areas that He's calling us to lay claim again to in our lives. I believe that 2016 is a year, if we will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and we will step up by faith, that it's to be a year of reclamation and restoration and renewal in all of our lives. Because we do have an enemy, and he is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is patient, and he is strategic, and he looks to rob from us, because how many of you know he can't take anything from God, but we are God's children. And he's looking to come into our lives and take from us that which God would want us to have in our lives. Let me give you a couple of definitions of what does it mean of reclamation. Reclamation means to rescue from an undesirable state. Any area of our lives that's in an undesirable state, God says that 2016 is a year that he wants to rescue that thing from that undesirable state. To claim or to demand the return of. To claim or demand the return of. It means to recover. To save from loss. That thing which the enemy would try to convince you that that's the way it's always going to be, and it's not going to change. It's just the way things are going to have to be. The Lord says this is a year that we're going to recover it in the name of Jesus. And how's it going to happen? It's going to happen when you and I step up to the plate and we recognize that we've been given the authority and we've been given the right to reclaim those things which the enemy has taken from us. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will give you. Everybody say you. Well, you, me. That he was saying you, right? Which is me. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How many of you know that we have the keys and we have the authority to recover all from the enemy? Yes. Hallelujah. Luke 10:19 says, behold, Jesus again said, behold, I give you the authority. Who did he give it to? He gave us the authority. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if there's something that's hurting us, if there's an area that the devil has laid claim to in our life, we have power and we have authority to cause him to give up that thing in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Mark 3:27 says this, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. There are some situations and some circumstances that the enemy of our soul has laid hold of that's not going to change until we make up our mind that in Jesus' name we're going to take it back. And we're going to recover it. And we're going to reclaim everything that the enemy has taken from us that rightfully belongs to us in Jesus' name. It's like kind of the picture I saw. I don't see visions, but it was like I saw the enemy's hand wrapped tightly around that which belongs to me. And you know what? He's not going to come and say, here, you want to have this back? When the enemy takes something, he takes it for keeps. And the only way he's going to give it up is if we go into his house and we say, that belongs to me. And in the authority of Jesus' name, you loose it and you let it go. 2016 is a year of reclamation. Remember King David and Ziklag. It's in your notes there. I want to read to you the story because it's such a picture of what I believe the Lord is saying for 2016 in our lives. 1 Samuel 30, if you have your Bibles or you can refer to your notes or maybe it'll be on the screen. 1 Samuel 30, beginning with verse 1, it says, 3 days later, David and his army had been out fighting. They'd been out doing what God had called them to do. And so it says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they arrived where? Everybody say home. They came home. And when they came home to their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and had burned Ziklag to the ground. They had carried off, or I would say there, they had laid claim to the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. Now, the first thing I want to show you here is this. The enemy came in to try to do something, but even when David wasn't there to do anything about it, I want you to see here that God preserved all that were in that place. Now, they took him off. He came in and he made a bid for something. But how many of you know David was a covenant man and he was in covenant with God? We don't have to live in fear, but we do have to live aware of the strategies of the enemy. And even when the enemy slipped in, I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to pray out of fear. I'm not going to believe out of fear. We're not going to operate out of fear. We're going to know that even if our eye and our hand is not where it could be in that moment to stop it, that God still is on the throne. And he preserved every wife, and he preserved every child, even in this circumstance. The enemy came after the what? The home. Everybody say the home. The marriages and the children, and he burned the homes to the ground. I would say that homes here represents this in our lives. It represents my domain. It represents my sphere, my promised land, my covenant territory. The lawbreaker came into my territory, or David's territory, and as a trespasser, he laid claim to something that did not legally belong to him, and he took it. And in our lives, many of our lives, the enemy has done the same thing. And we've either abdicated our responsibility, we backed down, or we fell down, we stepped back. But in some way, we allowed the enemy to gain a foothold. But how many of you know that we have other options? The enemy is a liar, and he's a lawbreaker, and he has been defeated. And what we're called to do is enforce his defeat. This is to be a year of reclamation. Verse 3, it says, when David and his men saw the ruins, you may look at some things in your life tonight and see that they seem to be in a ruined state. They may be in a ruined state because we've participated, or we haven't been who we should have been in Christ. But when David looked at this and his men looked and they saw the ruins and they realized what had happened. The other thing I felt like the Lord spoke to me this afternoon was this. We need to realize where the enemy has trespassed. We need to realize where the enemy has influence in our lives and our home. Because hoping and wishing those things would change isn't going to help them to change. The only thing that's going to help them to change is when we recognize that it's the enemy and we make demands on him to give up that which belongs to us. It says that when they realized this, that they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, it says, they were among those who were captured. And in verse 6, it says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And something I want to point out here was this. These are the very men that were standing side by side with David in the battle just a day ago, or a few hours ago, but now they were ready to stone him. Not everyone around you is always going to stand with you, particularly in some difficult times. And sometimes it may seem like you're the only one. But the thing you've got to remember is you're not the only one. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And even when it looked like all was lost, and David, the king, the man after God's own heart, was greatly distressed and he had wept till he could not weep anymore. He had a choice in that moment. And how many of you know that the choice we make in that moment, when we're faced with what the enemy wants to impose in our life, will make all the difference in whether or not that area of our life comes into victory or it stays in a defeat. David had a choice. He could stay grieved. He could stay distressed. He could dwell on the problem. He could pitch his camp and his tent there, or he could say, I'm going to rise up. And in verse 6, the scripture tells us that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He was tired. He was weary. He was overcome. He was distressed. He was give out. But how many of you know when we've gone where we can't go anymore, that we can connect to the source of power? And we can rise up in our lives and we can make declaration that we're going to go be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How did David strengthen himself? I would contend it was because he knew some things deep down on the inside. And there are some things that we've got to know deep down on the inside. When we face difficult times in our life, and when we face circumstances that seem like they would be impossible to change, there's some things that we've got to know deep down on the inside. And I believe that David began to speak to himself the truth. How many of you know when we know the truth makes us free? And he began to take his eyes off of the circumstances, and he began to put his eyes on the truth. Amen. I believe David knew, as later the prophet Isaiah would write, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When, everybody say when, not if, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Think about the three Hebrew children. They were thrown in the middle of the fire, but even in the midst of the fire, not only were they not burned, but they came out without even the hint of smoke. There's some things that we've got to know deep on the inside that will carry us through in our time of battle. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but I am not in despair. Persecuted, but this one thing I know, I am not forsaken. I'm struck down, but I am not destroyed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. David stood up and he said, it may look bad, but if I have anything to do with it, it's not over. Amen. In your situation this year, at the beginning of this year, there may be some areas in your life that may look bad. Some of them may be recent and some of them may be long standing. Some of them may just begin to be withering, and other ones, they've been dead seemingly a very long time. But either way, when you look at that thing, you need to tell it tonight. It may look bad and it may look dead, but in Jesus' name, it is not over. So in verse 7 of 1 Samuel 30, it says, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. Something else David knew was this, that when there was something that had been taken from him or there was a battle that he was facing, the first thing he needed to do was seek out the face of God.
Hallelujah.
He needed to hear from God. Amen. It says, Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him and he said this. He said, pursue. He said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, you will recover all. Pursue, and you will recover all. Pursue, and you will recover all. Lay claim to that which the enemy has tried to take from you, and you will recover all in Jesus' name. So David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind because they were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. If we will hear from God and we will pursue what he says pursue, this will be our year of reclamation.
Hallelujah.
But listen, we need to hear God. We need to sit at his feet. We need to sit in his presence, and we need to hear what he says we need to do.
Amen.
We need to go where he says we need to go.
Amen.
We need to do it when he says we need
Amen.
To do it.
Amen.
How many of you know he knows all of that?
Amen.
And we know none of it. If we had known some of it, if David would have known some of it, he'd have got back there a little bit early. He didn't know it. But God knows.
Amen.
And God knows how to restore your situation. God knows how to help you reclaim what the enemy has tried to lay claim to. And if we will take the time to tune all the other stuff out in our life, and all of us are in the same boat, all of us get up in the morning and we got all this stuff clamoring, all this temporal stuff clamoring for us, and we tend to all of it, and then if we have a little bit of time left over, we'll give it to... How many of you know? We're not going to reclaim anything until we attend to the voice of the Lord. We have to attend to the voice of the Lord. And when we do, when we bring that ephod on, we say, bring on the ephod. God, I want to hear you. When we spend time in his presence, he will be faithful to speak to us. And he will be faithful to show us the way. Verse 17 of 1 Samuel 30 says, then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. To reclaim, he had to go to war. To reclaim, he had to go into the enemy's camp. Now, I was going, you remember, this is where that song came from. You want me to sing it for you, Doe? You want me to sing it? I went to the enemy's camp. What? And I took back what he stole from me. I don't know if David was singing that on his way. He was saying, come on, guys, we're going to the enemy's camp. And how many of you know that as he was going to the enemy's camp, he had no idea what he was going to find? For all he knew, his wives and his children may have been slaughtered and gone. But God had spoke to him, and it was on that voice, and it was by faith in that voice that he was pursuing that which the enemy had taken from him. And he believed that whatever God had to do when he got there, that he was going to recover, as God said, all.
Amen.
Verse 18, so David did recover all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking. Everybody say, nothing was lacking. How many of you want that to be your testimony at the end of 2016? That in that area that the enemy thought he had laid claim to, and he thought was under his control, and he thought he had it all wrapped up, at the end of 2016, we're able to say that for the glory of God, it's been reclaimed for the kingdom of God, and that I'm not lacking anything. Nothing was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. So in your life, if it's missing, if you don't have it, if it's gone, if it's not where it's supposed to be, it's your year to reclaim it in Jesus' name. Pastor's already told us this is going to be a year of God's greater glory. Well, the way the greater glory is going to shine forth in our lives is when we lay claim to those covenant promises and that covenant territory that the enemy has tried to take from us, and we take it back in Jesus' name. How many of you know God's going to get all the glory?
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 49:25 says this, but the Lord says the captives of warriors will be released and the plunder of tyrants will be retrieved. For I will fight those who fight you and I will save your children. You may say, I don't have children. I would say here that children is referring to that which you have birthed, that which belongs to you, your heritage, your inheritance. God said he's going to fight those who fight against us. And this is going to be a year of release and retrieval in Jesus' name. A year of reclamation. Secondly, not only a year of reclamation to reclaim from the enemy that which rightfully belongs to us, not to just get it back, but to see that thing restored for the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
We're not just going to get it back, but we're going to see it restored for the glory of God. To take it out of the hands of the enemy and put it back in the hands of the Almighty. Can you say amen? To reclaim it from the one who would destroy it and place it into the hands of the one who will restore it in Jesus' name. God is a God of restoration. It's not just going to go get the old clunker, the old rusted out body of frame that's in the junkyard. It's not that we're just going to go get it and take it back, but God's going to bring it back and he's going to restore it. Joel 2:25 says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Restoration. What is restoration? It's a bringing back of something to a former, original, normal or unimpaired condition. God wants to restore things in our life to an unimpaired condition.
Hallelujah.
To an unimpaired condition, lacking nothing. Restoration is renewal. Everybody say renewal. It's a reconstruction of the original form. But I want to stop for just a second and talk about this. See, the level of restoration achieved is always dependent on the hands of the restorer. Anybody in here ever restored anything? Restored a piece of furniture? You restored a car? Anybody? We got any restorers in here? Nobody's done any of that? We got a couple people in here. Okay. The level to which the restoration rises is all dependent upon the hands of the one who's doing the restoration. Two people. You could put me beside somebody that was going to restore a, what? Tell me a famous car. 62 Mustang or something. Right? Somebody that knows what they're doing and somebody that really don't know what they're doing. And the restoration project is going to look entirely different. See, the quality of the vehicle's restoration is dependent on the person doing the work. Is it better than it was? Is it almost like new? Or is it in mint condition? See, when God is the restorer, it's better than new.
Hallelujah.
And God said he's going to make some areas of our life this year, if we will believe him, that not the original condition, but better than new. See, because he's not looking to bring it back to the way it was, rather to restore it to his original intent. To his original intent, to his original design, to his original will and purpose. So you think about it. You think, well, my marriage is over here and it sure is in bad shape. And if I reclaim it and God brings it back to the way it was, the way it was is better than the way it is now, but it's not where it needs to be. God says he wants to restore it to his original intent. Okay, so let's not believe this year that God's just going to get it back over here and get it back on life support. He's going to raise it from the dead and he's just going to get it on life support. And it's going to be the way that he's going to restore it to the way that it was. He's the master restorer. And when he puts his hands on something and we let him have his way, he will bring it back to his original design. This is to be a year of reclamation and restoration. Nahum 2:2 says, for the land of Israel, that would be our lives, we are his people, lies empty and broken after your attacks. But, everybody say but, the Lord will restore its honor and its power again. So if there's areas of your life that you can look at today and you say those places are broken and those places are barren, you can say but.
Hallelujah.
The master restorer is coming to restore its honor and he's going to restore its power in Jesus' name. Make it new again. Revelations 21:5 says this, and the one sitting on the throne. How many of you know you can't get any higher than that? The throne. The one sitting on the throne says, look, I am making all things new. That needs to be the confession out of your mouth every day. Amen. You look at the problem, you look at the situation, you look at the barrenness, you look at it, and the enemy wants to tell you how bad it is. You say, the one that sits on the throne says, he is making all things new.
Hallelujah.
I don't see how he can do it. I don't know how he can do it. If we knew how, it wouldn't take God.
Amen.
He is making all things new. And I love the way that he finishes out this. And he said, then he said to me, write it down. You can write it down. You can take it to the bank.
Hallelujah.
Write it down for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.
Hallelujah.
Just raise your hands there before the Lord right now and just tell him, say, God, you're making all things new. God, you're making all things new. And I can trust you. God, that is the truth in my life, in Jesus' name. That word new there in Revelation 21:5 means fresh. It means unused. It means unworn. It means unprecedented. It means unheard of. That's what the word new there means. Unused. That's virgin territory. And whatever area of our life has been used up, God's going to restore the virginity of that thing. Unused. Unheard of. That's the kind of God that we serve. You think, I don't know how it can be that way. It can be that way because the one who sits on the throne said he's making all things new. A year of reclamation and restoration. Isaiah 58:11 says, and you read some of it up here tonight. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. You may say, I don't feel anything like that. You may be in a sun-scorched land, but what God is saying that this year, that you will be like a well-watered garden and like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild, everybody say rebuild, the ancient ruins and will raise up. Everybody say he's going to raise it up, the old foundations. And you will be called repairer of broken walls and restorer of streets with dwellings. So the second word for this year is restoration. I got to wrap this up. God gave me two stories when he was giving me these two words. The first one was David and Ziklag for reclamation. The second one was out of the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter 26, verses 15 through 18, but I'm going to read 15 and 18 to you. It's about Isaac, and it says this, now the Philistines, which represented the enemies of God and the enemy of God's people. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. That word earth there means rubbish and debris and ash. I mean, you know, rubbish and debris and ash oftentimes are small pieces. But over time, the enemy comes to take all of these small pieces and he comes to look to fill up and to clog up our well. Verse 18, it says, and Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. But see, Isaac said, I know there's life-giving water in there. And I'm in a land of famine. And things aren't growing because the water's not flowing. And it says this, that he recognized that he was going to have to dig again the wells. And the scripture says that not only did he dig again the wells, that he called them by the same name that his father had called him. See, places where the enemy had come to stop things up, to prevent the flow of life-giving water by dumping junk, ash and debris and rubbish into the well, which would prevent the flow of God in our lives. And God says this year he wants to restore the flow. He wants to restore the flow of his life-giving water in our lives. In Ezekiel 47:1, I know you're familiar with this scripture, but I'm going to read it anyway. We're talking about the wells. God is calling us in this season of restoration to redig the wells, to unstop that so that the river of life can flow. It says, then the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there I saw a stream flowing eastward from beneath the temple threshold. This stream then passed to the right of the altar on its south side. Everything that touches the water of this river will live. Why does the enemy want to dump ash and debris and rubbish in the wells of our lives? Because he knows when that river flows, wherever that river flows, there is life.
Hallelujah.
Fish will abound in the Dead Sea. You can be in a dead situation, but if the river's flowing, things are going to be abounding. For its waters will be healed. Wherever this water flows, everything will live. All kinds of fruit trees will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. And there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month without fail. For they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. See, the reason things haven't been living is because the water hasn't been flowing. And God says this year, if he's going to restore us, then we've got to redig some wells. We've got to redig some wells. If you could, Lee, just go ahead and start some music, because if you don't start the music, I won't know it's time to close, and then I'll never stop. Remember, I didn't even realize that. So I'm thinking about these old songs. But you remember the old song, Spring Up, O Well? Where? Within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. That comes out of Numbers 21:17. It says there the Israelites sang that song, Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. It's a time, it's a year to redig some wells in our life, so that the spring of God, the life-giving water of God, can begin to flow once again in our lives. Out of us, spring up, O well, within my soul. Isaiah 43:20 says this, I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Jesus said this in John 7:37. Jesus stood and it says this. This is an amazing statement to me. It says Jesus cried out. How many of you know Jesus wanted everybody to know this? He wanted everybody to hear this. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's time to redig some wells. Because we know there's water in there. We know it's down there. We know it will cause things to live. And it's time to redig the wells. So reclamation and restoration, in both cases, how many of you know that there were things that had to be done? There was work that had to be done. David had to pursue. Everybody say pursue. And Isaac had to redig. If we're going to reclaim this year, we've got to pursue. And if we're going to see restoration, then we've got to redig. God has some great things that he wants to do. I don't have time. I'm going to give you these six things. You just write them in and then you just go talk to God about them. But I felt like the Lord gave me six things, and I don't have time to preach them. I'm just going to mention them, and there's supporting scripture for each of these. How do you redig the well? How do you begin redigging the wells in your life? When you know things have been stopped up, and when you know the river hasn't been flowing, and when you know that the life hasn't been coming forth the way that it should, God says this year it's time to grab the shovel and begin to redig the wells. And the first way he said to do it is just repent. Number one is repent. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he'll hear from heaven. He'll come and heal their land. How many of you know he's not mad at us? He's not angry at us. He hasn't cast us to the side. He said, if you got things in there that need to come out, ash and debris, grab the shovel of repentance and begin to get them out. And he says, great, then I'll take them and I'll remove them from you as far as the east is from the west. And I won't hold them against you anymore, because all they're doing is stopping up the well of life. That's why I don't want them in your life. Number two. Reconcile. Number one, repent. Number two, reconcile. The scripture says if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way and first be reconciled to your brother. Some of us need to grab the shovel of reconciliation. We've got broken relationships in our life. And the scripture says that we can't expect that the river is going to flow if we've got broken relationships in our life. It's time to reconcile by the grace of God. Number three, release. Some of us just need to release some things. We just got to let some things go. Amen. We got to let some hurt go. We've got to let some broken dreams go. We've got to let some betrayal go. The scripture tells us, it's one of my favorite scriptures. God was getting on to his prophet Samuel. He said, Samuel, how long are you going to mourn over Saul? Well, God, you told me to anoint him, and I anointed him, and everything didn't turn out the way I thought it was. I thought he was supposed to be king, and he messed this thing all up. And God said, how long are you going to mourn over the past? Fill your horn with oil. and go to Jesse's house because I provided myself a king there. God says in 2016, we got to turn from looking back. We got to release some things back here, and we got to start looking forward in Jesus' name. Number four, I've got to quit because my boss is here tonight and I might get fired. Number four, realign. We got to realign our position, which is this: humble yourselves. We've got to humble ourselves, realign our position, and then realign our priorities. Seek first the kingdom. Number five, resist the enemy. And we've already been talking about that. And number six is this, and this is our close, that we're going to run. We're going to run into his presence. We're going to run into his arms. We're going to run into the secret place. How are you going to redig those wells? The most important way is to hear what he says do and do it. But then we got to run. Every chance we get, we got to run into his presence. We got to run to his face. We got to run in worship. We got to run in praise. We got to run to the altar. We got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We got to be planted by rivers of living water. How many of you know our fruit's going to come forth? Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. 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 At the end of your notes right there, at the end of your notes, I gave a space. And that space is for you to ask God, what are the areas in my life that I need to reclaim in Jesus' name? What are areas in my life that I've experienced setbacks, or I've fallen, or the enemy's pushed me down or pushed me back? And you've got to begin to rise up in Jesus' name. And what the Lord told me to do was, when he spoke this to me at the beginning of the year, is he started a list. And I started a list. And five spaces wasn't enough for me. And my list keeps growing, and it keeps growing. And what he told me every day is, reclaim it. Reclaim it in Jesus' name. And can I tell you that within a week already, I begin to see God turn some things around that weren't turning around. Because how many of you know, it will happen. It will happen. He has no legal right to keep it. So I want you to take that piece of paper. You're free to go at 7:33. They're going to bring up the music. But you need to, in your personal prayer time, or you find some time alone with the Lord, and you say, God, there may be some obvious things in your life that you know that you need to lay claim to. It's time to take them back. It's time to take them back. And if we'll take them back, then God will begin to restore them. He will begin to restore them. Have hope again. Father, I thank you tonight that you stir up within us, God, our spirit. And like David, God, we would encourage ourselves in the Lord, God. And we would know, God, that you are able, God. And we would know that you are on our side. And if you're for us, who or what can be against us? And the devil has no power. The enemy has no right. And that tonight we rise up and we're a people that say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. It doesn't belong to you. And I've come to reclaim it in Jesus' name. I take it back in Jesus' name. And we are under the blood. We've been given authority. And we walk in the name of Jesus, and we walk into the enemy's camp. We pry his evil fingers off of that covenant promise, that covenant territory that belongs to us. And we declare that it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And in Jesus' name, we believe, God, that not only are you bringing it back, but God, that you're making it better than new. God, you're making it better than new. God, people will say, they won't even recognize that. Oh, you got a new car. No, this is the one that God restored. It's the one that's better than new. So, Father, we trust you this year, God. God, speak to us by your Holy Spirit, God. Lead us by your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen.